Hi, everyone.
Hey. Hello.
Mary said hello to everyone. She's in the back there saying hello. Well, Lord, just be with us today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're back in the story of Ruth, and for some reason, I'm so enamored with this story. I've read it so many times, but and I know, like, when we talk about Boaz and how she came to, marry Boaz and all that stuff, it's amazing. But what really struck me is the relationship between Naomi and Ruth that really meant something deep in me in regards to, our sisterhood, and how awesome women are, and just how the Lord finds a way to recognize the contribution of women in Matthew's genealogy in chapter one, those five women. So, anyways, in Ruth, in chapter two, Ruth goes to, let me just read it. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, Boaz, his name means like noble character. So, like, all throughout the story and how he treats Ruth and all that, it's really, he shows a lot of character, right? And so, especially after he finds out Ruth's plight, that she's a widow, right? And she's gone through so much, and she's a foreigner and all that stuff, and he shows her great admiration at her tenaciousness in committing not only to Naomi, but to Naomi's God in the midst of Naomi's depression and sorrow and grief and all that, and how her character is really loyal, But when I was looking at this, I was thinking, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, we know he died, right? But his name means my God is king, okay? And so even though he passed into eternity, what he brought to the table was the future of the messianic line. And that just, it just amazes me how detailed God is, So there's Boaz is a relative of Naomi's husband. And then we see him on the story, right? And so we know, like, the continuation of, Boaz and Obed, Jesse, and then David the king, and then ultimately Jesus, the messianic line. So isn't it interesting that even though some person like Elimelech is no longer here or no longer alive, his legacy continues, and what his name meant continues, that my God is king. He knew what he was doing. He planned this all along, And I just think that's awesome. And what a reassurance it is for us that no matter what we go through, that God is a redeemer. And that's really the gist of this whole book in the book of Ruth, is that God is loyal, faithful, and a redeemer, According to the law in Deuteronomy, let me just give you a reference. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19. That's the Levirate law. According to the law, if a husband died, then the person who marries the widow is continuing the husband that died their line. Okay. So knowing this, Boaz took a risk as well, right? He wasn't taking ownership of the legacy in that regard, So I thought that was interesting. And then in that law, the scriptures demands that line is continued, and it was very, very important, especially in the culture of the day, that the lineage would continue. And Boaz, his name is firmness or strength, And again, how awesome is God that he takes Rahab, who is totally transformed. She was a foreigner just like Ruth, and she was, given a new destiny by becoming a woman of covenant, and also too, this goes back to when we were talking about Tamar, that she herself put Judah, who was the promised for the messianic line, right? That she herself was a part of that Levirate law, where she ultimately had Judah's child. And they also were in turn among that messianic line. So how cool is that? It's cool, So Boaz in this story, he's the son of Salmon, who was a leader in Judah, again, that lineage, and Rahab. And Boaz was the great grandfather of King David. And when Ruth comes to the field, let me read chapter 2, verse 2. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, now you see, she's being told she's still a Moabitess, right? A foreigner. Please let me go to the field and glean heads of the grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said, go, my daughter. Again, she references her as daughter, right? And she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Again, God's design is just amazing. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. And Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Who does this widow belong to? Where is she from, right? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. So he's finding out a little bit about her, and he acknowledges her loyalty to Naomi, that he really respects the fact that she was loyal, that she left her family and clung to Naomi, even in the midst of all that journey entailed with, being alone, in another country for 10 years with Naomi, being married in a place that wasn't really her true home. See, she's going, and when you read in the scriptures, it says Naomi and Ruth, they returned to Bethlehem. It says Ruth returned to Bethlehem. She had never been there before, and yet she was returning because something within her spirit guided her, right, to go to Bethlehem. And it's cool that, like, just like David was born in Bethlehem, so was Boaz, right? And just as Bethlehem was the place of famine initially, meaning house of bread or all that they return, and here's Boaz, wealthy. So everything's restored in Bethlehem, right? He's a wealthy man, and so God was working when they were apart to bring them together. And it's just so important that we understand that God, his ways are not our ways, and he designs things. And oftentimes you don't understand it until you look back, right? And you go, oh, God was with me even when I was before I was a believer, even before I did anything good for the kingdom of God, God was with me. So Boaz provides for Ruth a lot of grain, more than she was even initially able to get. He gave her excess and abundance, Okay, so, and also to note in this story, Ruth was a hard worker. She gleaned, she picked grain, barley, from morning to night. And it says in verse 18 that she just took a little break or a little rest, but she worked all day. It wasn't like she was waiting and felt entitled and waiting for it to come to her, you know, but she trusted God, you know. Naomi's God became her God. We read that in the scriptures last week. So when we see Ruth come back to Naomi and she shares about all that she received and all that, then Naomi gets a plan, and she tells her, get washed, take your widow's clothing off, right? No more sadness, no more mourning, you're done with that. And she prepared her to go into Boaz's tent, to lay at his feet, because that's what servants would do. And what Ruth did when she said, you know, when you read it, when she said, put your, you know, the blanket over me and cover me, what that really was a marriage proposal. So here we see in the Old Testament, a woman proposing to a man, which is preposterous in that day, right? But that's what was happening. So I thought that was pretty cool too. And so Boaz not only provides for her, he protects her. And so he had her leave in the morning before anybody was awake, because he didn't want anybody to get the wrong idea about her, okay? Which could have, you know, tarnished her reputation, right? Okay, so again, when Ruth went to Boaz and laid at his feet, he was on the threshing floor, right? And what they did was, back in the day when they would, you know, get the grain to come in, the person that owned it would stay in the field on the threshing floor, so nobody would come and steal from them, right? So that's what he did. And so that whole thing of laying at Boaz's feet was a symbolic request, like I said, for marriage, and also a request for protection as the family redeemer, you know. So basically, the whole thing that happened with Tamar and the Levirate marriage, right, to continue her husband who's past lineage, and she had a child by Judah. Here we have the same kind of situation where she's asking for marriage, but also that her children would be her husband who had passed along that lineage, okay? Which is pretty, I mean, that's like a blended family, right? And sort of that kind of dynamic, like you're asking another person to raise a child that really isn't really yours legally. It's to create that lineage, right? So Boaz agrees to marry her. However, he finds out that, you know, there's a relative that's closer that has the legal right to first marry her. And in the story, Boaz admires Ruth because she didn't go after the young and the beautiful men that were available. She wanted Boaz, which is kind of cool that her value system really was in her, you know, it was in her character. And so Boaz, then he asks the relative, and he didn't want to marry her, so they end up getting married, right? And so by the end of the story, we're seeing that Ruth is no longer a struggling outsider, right? In fact, I think a couple times in here, first she's called, you know, a foreigner, and then she's called a servant, and then she's called a young woman or something like that. So there's this increasing identity in her as well. So She's found to be a woman worthy of redemption, you know. And this again in the scriptures, it just shows how God is so providential in how he fulfills the word of the Lord and the promises of God, and how faithfulness and loyalty and integrity in difficult situations are rewarded by God, you know. And we all know, when we apply this story in our own lives, that God is faithful and rewards us when we diligently seek him, you know. And that's talking about persevering through hard times. It doesn't mean you're going to be going through with a smile on your face, right? You could be crying the whole way, right? But if you're still one foot in front of the other, if you're still, this is, there's a new mercy today. Today I can do it. You know, tomorrow, hopefully I can do it tomorrow. You know what I mean? So, the whole thing is, if we don't quit, we can't fail. You know, and even when we do quit, God has a way, right, to get us back to that point of departure, you know, and get back in line with his purposes. So really, when you think about it, we're all helpless outsiders, right? We're all needing a redeemer, you know. We all need someone, and we know that someone is Jesus, to pay the price, to give us new life and love, you know. And I heard something really interesting, you know. You know how people have those stories, like, if God is who he is, why do bad things happen? And I heard a question that I thought was really interesting. I never really thought about it, but why did Jesus have to come in human form? Because, well, we know throughout the Old Testament that blood was, you know, required for atonement, right? But if Jesus and the Father and the Son are spirit, a spirit does not bleed. Isn't that interesting? And so Jesus had to become a human being so that that blood sacrifice once and for all was made. I thought that was interesting, you know? Huh?
That's cool.
It is really cool, you know,
Okay.
and I just thought that was really interesting and really cool. And so anyways, again, from famine to the house of bread, or the house of food, or the house of planting, is the story, you know. And interestingly enough, Boaz, meaning strength, right? And representing character and stability, there are two pillars in Solomon's temple on Solomon's porch, and one of them is named Boaz. I thought that was kind of cool too. So when you think about it, Bethlehem was the prophecy of the birth of Messiah, right? That's in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Bethlehem was known as the city of David. That's where David was anointed as king. That's where Ruth and Boaz were married. And that's where Jacob's son Judah had a child with Tamar, right? So I just thought that was amazing, that the lineage and the specificity of God is just, to me, I'm in wonder when I look at the word of God now. You just see one thing, it jumps out in you. You feel alive in your spirit, you know. It's just like, it's so life-giving, you know. When you're dry, it is living water. It saturates you. It brings you to life, you know. It's like those plants that kind of look like they're not going to make it, you know. And all of a sudden, you give them a little water, and the next day they're perked up, you know. And that's kind of like how we are. And you know, when we were talking this past Sunday, when Pastor was talking about Jesus being the gardener, you know, we are his planting, right? He's the vine dresser, he's the gardener. He's just, like I said last week, he's everything. He's just so everything, you know. And I I don't know. I'm just amazed. I love this story so much. And next week, and this is going to be brief, but next week, I want to talk a little bit about what it's like to be on the threshing floor and all the things that transpired, because it's meaningful and we can apply it to our lives as well. But I just think, the fact that, Ruth is named in the genealogy. Like, we don't know a lot about the women in the scriptures except for the super famous ones, Deborah, and but we do know that there are covenant relationships and really deep friendships between David and Jonathan, right? And Mary and Elizabeth, and like Paul and Timothy, and there's many more that we can find, even John and Jesus, the disciple that he loved, was at his breast, feeling his heartbeat, knowing what he was feeling and thinking and doing. And oh, it's just amazing. So just overall, the fact that we as women have this God-granted gift of being intuitive, the first at the tomb, the first to believe when the disciples said, "Oh, this is what they said," but they didn't really believe it, right? So we need to rejoice in who God has created us to be as women. We don't have to compete with men, and we don't have to compete with one another. We want to be, and I want to be a Ruth to somebody else. You know what I mean? I want to be. I don't want to be a Naomi. Unless it's like Naomi when she comes back to faith and she recognizes that, and just read the story, when, and she recognizes that God was with her all along. And so with that, I'm done today. But I thought maybe what we could do is really just pray among ourselves, and really practice what it means to be, in fellowship with one another's as sisters, and we'll pray together. Amen. All right.